Oh.
This is really embarrassing.
Well, I'm embarrassed.
Why is it embarrassing? Why?
Well, because Chris Cornell is seeing us look like jackholes.
I can't really see you, though. That's the cool part.
But you're
imagining.
That's
what's so great about radio. If you do something ridiculous on stage, everyone sees it.
Mm-hmm. But if you do it on radio, nobody knows.
No, they don't.
Except for when it takes a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes to get the button up there that I need.
It's not working. I don't know. So
all right.
You can play it from the board.
Chris is laughing at us, everyone.
You want to play it from
the board? Let me play it from the board. Here we go.
You're listening to the 28-hour Mikey Marathon.
Brought to you by Fox 6 News.
On KIOZ, San Diego's rock station.
Rock 105.3.
The following takes place between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m.
We're on the phone with Chris Cornell.
Hey.
So, Chris, we talked to you about, how long ago was it, Eddie? A couple months ago when we last talked to Chris? And I think that the most interesting questions were the stuff, like the normal stuff. So one of the things I want to ask you, first of all, do you like pizza?
Yeah, I do, but, you know, it's not something that I eat a lot.
So when you do eat it, how do you like it?
I'm pretty straight up. I like pepperoni and cheese. That's it, straight up. And anything else, you know. I have a memory that sticks in my mind. The first time Soundgarden went to England and we ordered pizza innocently.
Mm-hmm.
And they had pizza with corn on it and they had pizza with tuna fish on it.
Oh, wow.
And something about that, it's like, you know, I get it. I get sausage and Canadian bacon and peppers and things, but I just like to keep it simple.
Yeah, tuna fish is kind of gross.
Yeah.
It's pretty messed up.
And corn, you know, it's not. They didn't really know what it was, I don't think, so they just said, I don't know, make the dough and put whatever you got on it. I don't.
Hey,
but they will do that. They'll throw corn on a pizza and they don't even care.
That's pretty gross.
Wow.
Chris Cornell is on the line. We do this thing. When we do this 28-hour broadcast, this is the fourth year that we've done this, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we do something called the Mikey Show Idol later in the day. And it is where. There are six people on the show. It's myself, Eddie, Sky, Sean, Boston, Robin, Ashley. And what we do is we each sing songs like American Idol. And we let listeners call in and vote, and then we advance to the next round.
Cool.
Last year, I advanced to the final round singing Audio Slave, I Am the Highway.
Really?
And this year, I considered singing Chris Cornell's Sun Shower.
Uh-huh.
But I tried it at home yesterday, and there's no way in hell that I'm going to attempt that. And to be honest with you, I had no business attempting I Am the Highway.
No, it's not true.
These are hard. They're not easy songs to sing.
No, that one, Sunshine, is actually particularly hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Do you ever do any of that solo stuff when Audio Slave plays concerts?
You know, I don't think I ever have. I think I did the song Can't Change Me once.
Mm. Do you ever get kind of an itch to get out there and do some of that solo stuff?
Yeah, I think I'm just finishing a solo record right now in the studio. And then I'm going to go out and do just that for a while.
You're a really good singer.
Thank you very much. This is 2007, actually, will mark the 20 years of my recording career. So it's going to be fun to go out and play songs from that 20 years. It'll be mostly, you know, songs, newer songs and songs from my new record, which I'm very excited about, but it'll also be, you know, my entire history. There's some songs, you know, I've never even played live that people have heard. Like the song Seasons that was on the single soundtrack. I've never actually picked up a guitar and played it in front of people. I did it on my solo tour years ago where someone else was playing it and I sang it, but, I don't even remember how to play it.
Wow. Hey, Chris,
so
it'll
be fun to do that.
Chris, you guys aren't breaking up, right?
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah, don't, because we like you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Band is real good. The band is real good.
Thank you.
How did you get involved in recording this James Bond song, which, by the way, is really cool?
Thank you. They just called, and the people, whoever they are, you know, usually there's a person that's kind of in charge of music, and then they have the same guy, that David Arnold, who has done the score for the last four James Bond films. And Leah Volek at Sony Pictures that does the music for them and David Arnold thought I would be the right guy based on Daniel Craig as James Bond. Because this guy, he kicks ass, takes names. He's kind of covered in blood through most of the movie. He's more of a man's man, you know. He's just kind of, and the movie is written and directed that way. So they kind of thought, well, maybe we should have a guy. And then they thought maybe we should have a guy that actually sings in a more masculine style as opposed to the kind of bird with broken wing, shoe-staring guy.
No, Clay Aiken.
I'm the guy they came up with.
Yeah, they did not come up with Clay Aiken to be the guy.
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I was a fan of Daniel Craig from several movies I'd seen him in where he's different than everything, and I thought, okay, this could be the best idea anyone's ever had for James Bond, or it could be the worst. I'm not really sure. And I went and saw the rough edit of the film, and it was unbelievably great. It was, like, better than I could even think of. And, like, you see the first 9 minutes or whatever it is, and then the guy says, and he says in a British accent, though, he says, your song will drop here. And that was what I had to work with, really. I saw a lot of the rest of the edit, but then I was just thrilled because it's different. There's emotional depth to it. It's not like a normal James Bond film at all.
We were talking about this. The previews of it look so good. Chris Cornell is on the line. Sky, weren't you talking something in the news recently that Chris was in a bike accident or something like that?
Yeah, they reported that you were in a motorcycle accident and totaled your bike, which was $50,000.
Really smashed.
What happened?
I was okay.
What happened?
I was kind of innocently riding down the street like you do when you're on a motorcycle, and there's no one on the street. It was in North Hollywood where all of like the rehearsal spaces and studios are. Pretty simple thing. There was nobody but me and this big freight truck guy who had to make a delivery, and he decided he passed where it was he was going, so he was going to do a U-turn in the middle of the street and didn't see me.
Oh.
And,
Holy cow.
I have my bike's pretty loud. There's a thing where, you know, you'll see stickers that say loud pipes save lives, and it makes motorcycles loud and a little bit annoying, but it also makes people know that you're there. And my bike's loud, and he still didn't see that because he was sitting up so high. But anyway, I just rode straight into his front wheel.
Oh.
Then I flew into the truck. Then I flew over that, and then I flew onto the sidewalk. And I didn't get hurt at all.
You didn't get hurt?
No.
What about any scrapes or bruises?
I had some scrapes. Yeah, I wasn't wearing gloves, which is really stupid.
What are you, Bruce Willis from Unbreakable?
Like you should wear leather gloves when you're riding a motorcycle in case that happens. Because, like, the only place I was bleeding from were my hands.
Oh, wow.
That was dumb. And I got some bruises and stuff, but that was it.
Chris Cornell is on the line. Where are you right now? Are you at home? Are you?
I'm in New York City.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I came here to do some press for the opening of the film, which is next week, actually.
Like, are you in a hotel setting? Where we're trying
I'm
to?
I'm in a hotel, and I'm on television now because they are having local elections. I'm watching a bunch of like commercials for different people running for office, and I don't know any of the candidates because I'm not from here, of course. And it's really fun because it's just a slag fest. They got this one guy, like, saying bad things on tape, trying to push through, like, building contracts.
Yeah.
And then they have this other guy who's actually, I've never seen this before. He, like, bought the rights to Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and some other film, and then he puts himself in it. In the
Very
movie,
random, and Chris.
Sort of pretending, he's pretending he's the character.
Chris, let me ask you. You're sitting there in this hotel in New York City. Are you dressed like a rock star right now?
Yes.
What are you wearing? Tell us what you're wearing. Tell us what you're wearing.
I'm not wearing anything.
Come on.
Hello there.
Whoa.
Good morning.
I can't control my horny level.
Will you order?
I'm not exposed. I'm covered with a big blanket. But
all right.
Oh.
Now, will you order in food to your hotel room?
No.
No?
No.
What will you do?
This is New York City. I mean, you go out the front door and there's food everywhere.
You get when you leave there and you get into the elevator, what are the chances that you're going to have a conversation with somebody about you being Chris Cornell?
Probably not going to happen.
Really?
Maybe outside.
Yeah?
Outside there are guys like that had pictures of me and Eddie Vedder from like 1990 on stage. And you know what they do normally is you sign them and then they sell them on eBay. And I'm usually pretty cool about it because I figure, you know, they make money and it takes me 5 seconds. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And these guys actually were really cool. They gave me a couple copies, like about four of these different big photos, which I've never even seen them before.
How did they even know you're
there? So I was signing
there?
A bunch of their stuff and you know, that was kind of it for the... I'm like at this hotel in New York where it's mostly older people and they don't know who I am. And then the guy said that Daniel Craig was really mean to them.
Oh,
and I was trying to explain that it's kind of different for actors. Actors, I think, are a little weird. I think, like, they just are. I don't even know if they know who they are from one day to the next because they're always thinking about some character.
Right.
You know, I've never met an actor that wasn't a little weird.
Wow.
And they agreed with me because they're, like, professional autograph guys, and I think they run into that a lot. I mean, have you... You've heard stories about Julia Roberts-type people going crazy mm-hmm. on some poor woman that just wants to take a picture.
Have you? Can you remember times, though, Chris, where you were not having an okay day and somebody wanted to talk to you?
Yeah, lots of times.
Yeah? So it happened.
Normally, I'm like, no matter what, I'm pretty cool about that kind of thing. But, like, there was one time I was in an airport, and it was post 9/11, and security's kind of weird, and... We're walking, it's me and Tom Morello, and we're walking toward security, and there's still people with guns then. You know, so I was a little nerve-wracked, because I don't really like flying anyway, and this guy and his son were following us, trying to get us to sign stuff, and I think we'd already signed some stuff, but these were professional people, like, you know, and I don't mind that, you know, and whatever. It's not an easy job hanging out and chasing around famous people. But then he said that our security guard had somehow broken his camera, and that if I didn't sign his thing, he was going to sue us. And something pushed a button in me. And Morello had never seen me like this, because since I've been an Audioslave, you know, I'm a little older and I'm more mellow. But I kind of reverted back to, like, I was 24, and I saw red, and I just started to go crazy on these people. And poor Tommy, like, he turned white as a sheet, and then maybe, like, purple, I think. Because we're in an airport, and there's guys with guns next to us, and nobody knows what's happening.
What did he say? What did Morello say to you after the incident ended? Or did you guys not talk about it?
It was something to the effect of how shocked he was because he'd never seen me like that before. And I think it was, like, a little disconcerting to, like, think he's all in a band with this really mellow, sweet guy, and then all of a sudden he just snaps out of the blue at an airport next to guys with guns.
Because isn't Morello real calm and real laid back? And
he's very calm and laid back. You know, he's also, he sort of holds it in. You can see when he's about to go crazy, but he doesn't. Yeah, he's responsible.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the word.
I would think he's very peaceful, very responsive.
He is. He's very intelligent, and he wants to do the right thing, and he'll sort of look at the situation as opposed to being reactionary. What adults are supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to look at every side of it and make a decision and then express your feelings, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
He can actually do that.
Chris, what are you like when you're in the recording studio? What's your personality like? Are you uptight? Are you
I'm a little quiet, but I'm affable. I have fun, but I'm kind of a little preoccupied, too, because I'm always thinking about whatever the next thing is going to be.
Right. How long are those days?
Not too bad, you know, 12 hours.
Jeez,
that sounds extremely long to us.
Brutal.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, it can be a lot longer. When Soundgarden was mixing and recording, like, Ultra Mega OK, I used to sleep underneath the mixing board, and we never left.
Wow. Eddie?
Do you have a special, like, recipe for, like, a tea or anything to, like, keep your voice
throat thing
cool?
No. I think it's the mental attitude. Just don't worry about it. And that's sort of done the best for me.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't worry about it.
You superstitious?
I try to smoke. I'm a little superstitious, yeah.
Give me an example.
Let's see. What's a good example? I'm not like a baseball player, but it's like if there's something on a song that maybe shouldn't be there or was a mistake, and it's a demo and I just really love it, but it's kind of a mistake, or it's a part that maybe shouldn't be there, a sound that shouldn't be there, and it's just a demo so I didn't pay much attention to it, I feel like I kind of owe it to the song that I have to keep that in, and so even if I redo it, I feel in a weird way like songs are kind of these living little buddies, and I have to kind of let them be who they are without, even if I think maybe it's a bad idea.
Chris, give me a song that you sing, give me an Audio Slave song that you sing live that you like because you know your voice is going to be real sweet on it.
I Am the Highway I like. Mm-hmm. I usually do that, it's been over the last few years, I do that alone. A song that we really don't play that much, let me think. You know, one that we don't play that much anymore because we have so many songs to do is Last Remaining Light.
Hey, since I have you on the phone, we're talking to Chris Cornell. What does Pearls and Swine Bereft of Me mean?
Like good people and bad people who miss me.
You're smart.
Wow, dude.
You're smart.
That's
and you're,
really
you're
awesome.
Yeah, you're real deep. Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's correct grammatically. I never checked that out because I'm too lazy, but I'm pretty sure it is.
That's pretty cool. It sounds cool.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we're going to let you go because we know you got stuff to do and sit here and talk to DJs. But Chris Cornell, we love the band. We love your voice, and you're a cool guy. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks very much. Have fun.
All right, we'll see you.
Take it easy.
All right.
It's Chris Cornell.
Good guy.
Look at this. The promotion staff here is the best.
Wow.
They're the best.
Lucky.
They're the best.
Lucky, lucky.
Bringing in food.
Lucky, lucky.
Come over to the microphone and tell us what, Dana, come over to the mic and tell us what you brought. It looks great. Good.
We brought eggs and sausage and potatoes and biscuits and gravy.
Oh, you're the best.
Got up and cooked this
morning.
Wow.
That is fantastic.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. We appreciate it.
What do you want? You want the tears to come out of my eyes?
Cooking on a barbecue early in the morning.
Very nice. You guys, that looks great.
Yellow.
Work it, Sky.
What, Sky? What are you doing?
Nothing. I was just showing Sean that we have Link sausage.
She was doing my sausage move.
Sean does this really awful thing when he eats Link sausage.
I would call it an erotic thing.
No, I don't like
it. He's all grown up now. He's not going to do that anymore.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Right?
Sean, you don't do that anymore because that was in your more immature days that you used to do things
now.
Like that.
All grown up.
I would say I am more grown up now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when I do it now, mm-hmm. there's an extra layer to it.
Oh, what
something
extra layer.
That before it was purely physical, and now it's more of an emotional experience, I would say. For me and the person whose eyes I'm staring into.
All right, okay. Thank you.
I can keep going.
Guess who's on the line? Pablo Francisco is on the line.
Oh, yeah. You're going for 28 hours. I can't believe it.
In a world where people are on the air for 28 straight hours.
28 straight hours. They're going to keep on going for 28 straight hours. This summer has 28 hours written all over it.
Let me tell you something. We love Pablo. We love Pablo.
Oh.
Pablo Francisco, we met him for the first time in the studio when we were in San Jose at KSGO. I have a funny Pablo story. Pablo is kind of always, you know, what you see on stage is what he is. Because my wife and I ran into him at the mall in San Jose. Yeah. And we ran into him at the mall, and he'll come up to you, like, seeing him at the mall, and he'll go, how are you today? I can't believe I'm seeing Mikey here at the mall.
Mikey's at the mall. It's a really bright mall.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bright outside.
That's great. Pablo's got a new DVD. It's called Ouch, Live from San Jose.
That is right. It's in San Jose, and it airs at Comedy Central on Saturday. It's an hour special. And then if you want to get if you want to get some raw footage and stuff like that, you can catch.
You want to get raw.
You want to get raw. You can grab it. You can grab the rest of it on November 14th. It's in stores.
That's awesome. So it comes out November 14th. You can pre-order it, by the way, on Amazon.com, right?
That's right. And you can catch it on Comedy Central Saturday night.
Sometimes do you get the feeling that Pablo's brain just works
real fast.
Way too fast.
Yeah.
Way fast, dude.
It's like Pablo, it's as if your brain is working faster than your mouth is trying to keep up with what's going on in your head.
I'll be well, like they say, man. Are you good hands with Allstate? Have you have too much ideas that cannot get out of your mouth? It's okay. Are you good hands? Are you in good hands with Allstate?
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Whoa.
This is what we're going to sound like in about 20 hours.
Right.
That's right.
No.
You guys, you just like I'm saying, man, it's going to be funny. If you guys want to check out before, like on Friday night, you can check out, what's it called? It's called Friday Night Stand. I'm trying to talk to my friend.
What the hell is the matter with you, Pablo?
Pablo.
What are you doing?
It's called Friday Night Stand-Up.
Put down the meth.
Comedy Central. And I will be doing the show, showing some bits and pieces of my ouch comedy special coming out on Saturday.
Yeah, show your bits and pieces.
All right.
I don't think that's what he meant.
Pablo, do you have comedian friends or no? Do you stay away from them?
I have a few comedian friends. With Carlos Mencia.
Really?
Oh,
talk to me about Carlos because, we had, Carlos called and there's a whole thing with Carlos, but he is not friends with Joe Rogan.
No.
And have you guys ever talked about that, the Joe Rogan stuff?
The thing is that, Joe Rogan thinks that, Carlos Mencia does similar topics as Joe. And sometimes Joe Rogan calls him Carlos Mencilia because he thinks Carlos is stealing stuff from him. So it's actually pretty funny. But, I've not seen the guys go head-to-head and talk it out. They just talk about it on stage. You stupid, quackity kook. You think I'm taking from you? Whatever.
That's awesome.
It's a rivalry like you've never seen before. So... like I'm saying, Saturday, check it out there, Mikey.
Pablo is a former Mad TV cast member. He's been seen, you've seen him on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Yeah.
Have you done a few with Jay Leno? You and Jay get along pretty good?
Jay's great, but his chin is so long, you could put a tie clip on it.
What?
Pablo, what is going on? Pablo.
What do you mean, what's going on? He does this every time we talk
insane.
To him.
Do those Mexican music.
Bop, bop, bop,
yeah,
bop,
I punch up everything with Mexican music. Okay. If I do a joke, hey, you like bumper stickers? This bumper sticker reads Jesus Saves because he shops at Walmart. Okay. Guns don't kill people. You can't hum to that. I was playing it backwards. Let me play it for it.
What the hell?
This is my fault. I apologize.
Eddie, what are you talking about?
If Pablo would have been on tomorrow morning at this time, this would have been the funniest thing we've ever heard in our life.
That's so true.
Crack is whack.
So check it out, baby.
I like it. I think he's fun.
He's crazy. Great. Pablo's great.
He's from Tucson.
Yeah. I'll go Philadelphia, Atlanta, L.A., Northern California, where the girls are warm. No, all the way through.
He's now living in Los Angeles.
Oh my gosh. I can't handle it right now.
Got his professional break at 17 years old. You and a buddy, you won a comedy competition where?
At the Black Angus Fun Bar.
At the Black Angus.
Oh, nice.
Square Cow Fun Bar.
That's right. And here's another interesting fact. Pablo Francisco has done voiceover work for The Family Guy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Very nice.
Yes, I did the first Fox season, a little bit of that, with I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone in the boat, and I'm also the Cuban terrorist. So check it out.
There you go. All right, thank you, Pablo Francisco. The new DVD is Ouch! Live from San Jose, available in stores nationwide next Tuesday, November 14th. And... it's going to be awesome. Thank you very much, Pablo. Thank you.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
What are you sorry? What are you sorry?
He's a friend of ours from back in the day, and I know he wanted to promote his thing, and he's just insane. And so, like I said, I think he would have been hysterical to us tomorrow at this time. Today, I'm like, what? What was that? What was that?
Holy crap.
But
that
all
was
good.
Insane.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty weird.
Oh,
that
man.
Was crazy.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Oh, weird.
Can we have the 2 minutes to eat our breakfast? Can I give people an example that may be new to the Mikey Show. This is why we do this. Why are we on for 28 straight hours?
I don't know.
We do it because we know that there's a lot of people that have never heard the Mikey Show. We want them to have the opportunity. I'm going to give you a taste.
Just a little taste.
Yeah, real good.
I'm going to give you a little taste of what we do here. Give you a little tough love with Eddie.
Oh, well. Oh. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to continue. After you hear this, we're going to come back and continue with this new game. It happened off the air, and then we got so much other stuff. Here's what we're going to be doing. Inside the Mikey Show. It is just like inside the actor's studio. I will be James Lipton.
Yes. Who are you going to interview?
The Mikey Show. The Mikey Show. It's going to be like when James Lipton from Inside the Actor's Studio interviewed The Simpsons, the cast of The Simpsons. I'm going to interview the cast of The Mikey Show.
Wow. I'm honored.
Also, we will be doing Mikey Show Questionnaire. We have Carson from Queer Eye coming on.
I'm ready now.
How come he's coming on?
I just thought it'd be funny.
Okay.
Awesome.
So we have all of that. Check this out.
Folks, you don't need to stretch out.
I like to limber up.
It's not necessary. it's not required.
Sky, you don't realize that helping people really takes a lot out of you physically.
I'm sure.
And this segment is called Tough Love with Eddie, and people write in.
Don't want to pull a groin.
He's got a groin stretch right there.
All right, that's great.
People write in and they ask for advice, and we have Eddie give out the advice because I've known Eddie for a long time, and one thing that I know about Eddie is that he shoots from the hip and he doesn't tell you what you want to hear, he tells you what you need to hear. And that's why we call it tough love.
No placation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Maybe sometimes it may hurt to hear, but that's why it's called tough love. That's Scott.
You're the type of person... It kind of slowly takes the Band-Aid off. Well, I rip it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to deal with it. Just give it. Ah,
that's right.
Well, that's hurtful when you do it that way.
But you know what? It's quick and it's easier in the long run.
Yeah, that's right. The healing can begin quicker.
He's just being vituperating. It's no big deal.
Thank you.
Yep.
What?
All right. Our first letter reads, Dear Eddie, I need some of your tough love. I do okay initially with the ladies. I'm a good-looking guy, and I think I have a decent personality. But once it comes to the intimate part, the ladies aren't that into it. Well, I finally found out why. I went out with this chick last week, and when I went in for the kiss, she said she had to be honest. I have bad breath. Now, on one hand, I'm relieved to know what the problem is, but on the other than chewing gum, I'm not sure what to do. Got any advice? Signed, P1 Steve in OB. Eddie?
Dear supercalifragilistic, you have really bad halitosis. Now, this is actually good news for me, man. I need some paint removed from my walls, so if you just schedule a time to come over on my place, it would be great.
That's rude, Eddie. That doesn't even work.
All right, fine.
Eddie is doing paint work.
So your breath smells like you've been chewing on a cadaver, huh? Well, my first piece of advice is to stop cleaning yourself with your tongue. I know those hard-to-reach places can really stink. Now, second, your mouth sounds like a Mexican food dumpster, so go ahead and start using bleach as mouthwash, okay? Now, if that doesn't cure the funk, then you may want to wrap that baby diaper of a mouth of yours around a shotgun barrel. I heard the taste of gunpowder can do wonders.
Eddie! That is horrible advice.
Well,
you didn't help anyone.
How do you know?
He helped.
Well, because it's obvious.
We'll find out
later. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sure later Steve will be in touch.
Yeah, later we'll see if we can hear
him. He'll write you back and say, you know what? I don't clean myself with my tongue.
You don't know that.
You don't know that.
How do you know he does?
Because he smells like ass.
Our next letter reads.
He's got that Zachly mouth. Smells exactly like his ass.
Oh, gosh. Very nice.
Good one.
Our next letter reads...
Thank you. I'll be here all day.
Next letter reads, Dear Eddie, I have a problem that I imagine is the exact opposite of what most women have to deal with. You see, I am really big up top.
Oh, my.
The older I get, the worse my back becomes because of the weight of my breasts. My doctor suggested I have breast reduction surgery, but the problem is I don't have the money or the credit to have it done. I'm at the end of my rope. Do you have any advice? Signed, P1 Dawn from Lakeside. Eddie?
Dear the good, the bad, and the juggy. a little confused. And your problem is...
pain, Eddie. The excruciating back pain.
Sky, it's like she's saying, I have too much money, and I want to get rid of it.
You have to carry a lot of money on your chest. Someone maybe would say that.
Money sucks, and I hate it because I'm a total idiot whose brains are in her chi-chis.
Just get your dumb advice.
Fine, I will. I have a surefire way for you to make enough money for your surgery and then some.
What?
It's a simple little job that doesn't even require extensive schooling. It's actually a new fad on the internet called milking.
What?
Okay.
What?
Well, Mikey, I know you don't, peruse these sites, but
no.
Actually, they dress you up like a cow and hook up milking machines to your udders.
Come on, man.
Eddie!
It's
come
a thing.
On.
Just because you have big breasts doesn't mean you're lactating.
It's a thing. I'm not one of those crazy kids that goes to those sites.
And Sky, is that true?
What do you mean?
If you have big breasts, it doesn't mean you're producing milk?
Shut up.
Of course
it does. Shut up.
I
know. Definitely
does.
You have to be
lactating.
You have to have birth.
I am not.
No, it doesn't.
Honestly, I thought they were swollen with milk.
Excuse me.
Shut up.
Can I get back to helping Dawn? May I get back to helping Dawn?
Please do. Please do.
Dawn, just give me a call and I'll bust right over. I'll show you some tapes on the boob tube. And I'll keep you abreast of all the new moves.
Stop it.
Lastly, I'd like to say the word nipples.
Thank you. Oh,
what are you doing? Just trying to help people.
Dawn, contact nipples. Your insurance company. They'll cover most of it.
You're not a doctor. We don't need you.
An insurance company will cover that surgery.
They'll sue you if you give them out bad advice like that.
Screaming out the word nipples is helpful. Okay. My bad.
At least you're admitting it. All right. Give me another one, Mikey.
I got another one in me, buddy.
You're out of hand.
Our next letter reads, Dear Eddie, I'm having a hard time with my finances right now. Like, really, really bad. I have a small apartment in PB, and as it is, I can barely afford it. I have a part-time job, but it's just not enough. I heard you guys talking about The Apprentice, too, and it got me to thinking, maybe I can work for you guys. That would be awesome. What do I have to do to sign up? How did last year's person win? That's signed P1 Anonymous in PB. Eddie?
Dear Boston Rob.
Wait a second. What? I didn't write that.
You already work here. Shouldn't you be screening phone calls or dreaming up a new stunt idea or something? I mean, what are you doing writing me? I thought you were doing okay with the Rock 105 paycheck and all the can collecting. Now you're resorting to trying to do The Apprentice again? I mean, seriously, bro? I mean, what you need to do... Oh, wait, this can't be Boston Rob. They spelled anonymous right.
Why don't you just help the guy?
All right, fine. Dear P1 Anonymous. You should absolutely enter The Apprentice, too, but don't do what last year's winner did, okay? He likes show tunes and angered 4th and B, okay?
We don't need to insult Levi while we're doing this.
He angered our program director and was named after jeans.
Okay.
Do not go that route, okay?
We don't need to bring him into
it.
Levi.
Listen, listen, everyone. Instead,
it's as cute as Wrangler.
This is for Jordash.
Okay.
All right, come on. Keep your waitresses. Okay. Do you like Boston Rob did, actually. You actually follow Boston Rob's little example. Constantly be a no-show. Speak with a thick Boston accent. And become good friends of ours so we feel really bad for wanting to fire you. And we'll want to, trust me. So, P1 Anonymous, good luck growing out your hair and rarely taking a shower. Enjoy.
Oh, that was a good batch today.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, can you hear that?
Oh, my God.
Coming up, Claremont Mesa Boulevard.
Yeah, maybe you should open your ears up, Sky.
Huh? They are open. I've heard a lot of trash for the last 10
then
minutes.
You would hear.
Turn your ears up.
They're screaming at us.
Screaming at us.
All right.
You would hear the sound of healing.
Yeah, you're welcome there, San Diego.
Yes, there it is. Okay, they're taking pictures in the studio.
Why are they? What are they doing?
I don't know. Is anybody interested in what Sean was just doing?
It's called erotic photography.
All right, Sean.
I don't think that's what's going on.
What? Guys can do it.
Okay. We're about to have Carson on. Carson Daly. From the Carson Daly Show. Is that right, Eddie?
No.
Johnny Carson is about to join us here on the show.
No, that.
Carson Kressley.
Yeah.
I like that name. Carson, are you there?
I am here.
It is like, that sounds like that could be like the name of royalty in England. Carson Kressley.
Oh, yes, darling.
That's right. You know Carson Kressley as one of the members of the Fab Five, and you're the fashion member.
I am. I'm the fashion guru, the fashion savant.
That's right. And you're on Celebrity Jeopardy?
I am. Can you believe it? I'm on Celebrity Jeopardy tonight.
Are you...
I think it's on at 6:30 or 7. I'm not sure when it airs in San Diego.
Carson, are you smart?
You know, I have a vast knowledge of things, but the ability to, you know, access that information when you at the push of a little clicker, that's sometimes the most challenging part of a game show, which I didn't realize. Jeopardy category?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Who invented
women in sports?
Who invented the cotton gin?
Eli Whitney.
Wow, look at you.
Wow, oh. Well to you,
hey,
sir.
Look at you.
I'm not just faking it.
Maybe you are pretty smart.
Oh, you guys are going 28 hours straight?
Yep. Yeah, and as opposed to 28 hours
right
gay.
Now, I have to warn you.
Okay. All right.
You get it? 28 hours straight instead of 28 hours gay. Yeah, it's like a play on words.
Are you going to change outfits at all during the 28 hours?
Actually, I am. Actually,
yes.
I am.
Yes, we will.
Actually, I am. In fact, I'm getting ready for a costume change.
You are?
I always do a costume change early in this process.
Wow.
You know how you're gay?
Here's a ball gown.
A ball gown.
Do a ball gown. It's too uncomfortable.
It's called a ball gown because it doesn't chafe.
That's right. Nice. You get it?
Hey,
hello. Sky, do you have a question for Carson?
Yeah, Carson, do you know who the other celebrities are going to be that you're going to be on with tonight?
Doogie Howser.
Playing. I was hoping it was going to be like Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan, you know,
right.
I mean, I could really smoke.
Lohan.
But actually, it's going to be Nancy Grace and Regis Philbin.
Oh, my God.
Nancy Grace.
I know, that's what I said.
And Reg. Nice.
Will you make fun of them?
No, I might a little bit.
That'd be funny if you did.
I don't want to pick on Nancy Grace too much because she'll give me that crazy, like, googly eye thing she does.
Yes.
You know when she's staring down like somebody just like, you know, I don't know, lost their kid or something?
Mm-hmm.
Very crazy stuff.
Who are the best-dressed men and women in Hollywood?
Best-dressed? I mean, this is going to sound crazy because he sometimes sounds not that exciting to people, but I think it's George Clooney because you don't really notice what he's wearing and he never looks like he's been put together by a stylist. You just always kind of step back and say, wow, that guy looks great.
It's
that classic kind of great, a little bit more old Hollywood style.
Carson, do you have...
ladies?
Carson? Yeah, ladies.
Naomi Watts. always looks amazing.
That's what I was going to say.
Nicole Kidman always looks amazing.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I could go on and on.
Okay. Carson.
For 28 hours.
Okay. Wow. Carson is one of the Fab Five. He is on Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
He is a gay man.
He is a gay man.
Indeed. So far, you're 3 for 3.
That's right. And, okay. So my question for you is, do you have good gaydar?
I used to have great gaydar, and then this whole metrosexual thing came around, yep. And now everybody's got highlights, and I don't know who'd hit on it.
Did you? Was Doogie Howser a surprise to you, Neil Patrick Harris?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I just didn't peg him as being part of the team. Lance Bass was definitely not a surprise. All those highlights, I was like, "Is there something you want to tell us,
Carson?" This is one that has been talked about, rumored okay. about. It's in the news. People have talked about it. Is Ryan Seacrest gay?
No, but his hair is.
Okay.
Oh.
I believe that gay guys have a responsibility to not out other gay guys, yes. If the gay guy hasn't
thank
outed
you.
Himself yet.
Definitely.
And so,
being gay is just one part of a person. And I think, you know, T.R. McKnight, the guy from Grey's Anatomy, had a great interview and he said, "I hope that's not the most interesting thing about me." And, you know, in this day and age, I would hope that, you know, being gay is just one facet of somebody and it's not that big of a deal. And coming out is a really difficult thing for a lot of people. And to do it on your own terms and when you feel comfortable and when you have a support system is really important. So I would never want to out somebody.
What do guys
unless
do?
Unless they were really hot and I wanted to ask them out, then I would do that.
Hello!
Oh, yeah. Get it.
Carson, what do most men...
Do you want to go out sometime?
Oh. Yeah.
Well, hello.
Well, are you hitting on me?
Well, hello.
Crest and tear it up.
What do... look at you. Know wow. the areas. You know
wow.
the...
Like,
do you like? Do you have a sheet of paper in front of you that says St. Louis and it's like, you know, Lawnville or... You know what I mean?
No, I get around.
All right.
That's what we've heard.
I don't want to know anything about that.
He is a gay man.
Carson, can I do the rest of the interview with you just strictly about fashion?
Sure, yeah. Bring it on.
What do most men do fashion-wise that makes you crazy?
I think most guys, there's a couple things. I mean, a lot of guys, you know, adopt a style or a look for themselves that's basically like when they get out of school or college and they kind of keep that for the rest of their lives. You know, the guy that still has the mullet and still wears, like, the Metallica shirt.
I'm a little embarrassed because I have a mullet and I'm wearing a Metallica shirt.
I know. Awkward. I have you on my video webcam.
That's right.
That, so I'm sorry. I shouldn't pick on you, Mikey.
That's all right.
And then the other thing is guys don't know their sizes, and everyone knows that size matters.
Oh, I know mine.
You need to wear the right size. So if, you know,
fat.
If you used
my
to be
size is fat.
You're 34, get some new pants for God's
sake. Said that with my mouth full of gravy, by the way. Go ahead, Sky.
Carson, if you were to see a pair of black shoes that had a bright orange stripe running through them, would you consider them gay?
Yes, and I would consider the wearer to probably be gay as well.
Thank you, Carson. The fashion expert has spoke on the shoe, which I commented on yesterday. Thank you very much.
You only gave him colors. You didn't describe the shoe itself.
Yeah, describe the shoe.
Well, you know, it's a cool, like, skater type of shoe with a, what kind of material is that, people? Like a felty?
I would call it a masculine material.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a bright orange stripe running through it, and the sole of the shoe is bright orange.
Sean, just because you're gay doesn't mean that you can't be masculine.
Yeah, see? Carson gets it.
If you're running through Hillcrest and you don't want to get hit by a car.
So face on all your guys' faces.
Yes.
It's on your face.
Nice,
point proven.
Guy.
Thank you.
It's okay. We love you anyway.
All right.
Right.
We're talking to Carson, member of the Fab Five, Celebrity Jeopardy tonight.
Yeah, tonight. Mm-hmm. Very scary stuff. Quiz shows. Very scary.
Yeah, what's that Alex Trebek like?
Well, the funny thing is, you know, you meet him before the show and you expect him to just be like chill and normal and everything, but he always talks in the game show voice, like where every syllable kind of like ends on a low note. Carson,
now,
are you? Today. I was like, dude, we're not on TV. Like, talk like a normal person.
Yeah, be normal. Hey, Carson,
yeah,
you know
who... shave off his mustache, which is a nice touch.
You know what? I wanted to ask you, because who is it that loves gay guys? It's that Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin.
Kathy Griffin loves the gays.
Oh, she does. She calls them her gays, and she says... Yeah. Are you friends with Kathy?
I am friends with Kathy.
Okay, I want you to, and I'm being completely honest, I really have advice. I have it, and this is genuine. Like, I'm not doing a bit. I really mean this genuinely.
Okay, this is from the heart.
It is from the heart. I believe that Kathy is extraordinarily talented. And I think that she is really funny.
Yes.
But I think that the self-deprecation sometimes goes into an area that I don't think she intends it to. And that is kind of this sad thing where I always want to say to my screen, Kathy, you don't have to do that. Like, you're actually funnier and more talented than doing that.
And, right, right.
And I always think to myself, I say, I wish that a friend of hers would pull her aside and say, Kathy, you're not as unattractive as you think you are. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. I'm going to call her right after this show and tell her that.
She knows who we are because, we kind of consider ourselves friends, you know, her a friend of the show. We were actually on a promo of hers for her TV show. We were the show that interviewed her in Las Vegas and we didn't know. I think I called her Kathy Griffith because I didn't know it was.
Yeah, that's not good.
I didn't know it was Kathy Griffin anyway, but... I think she's real funny, but somebody's got to tell her, hey, Kathy, you don't have to try so hard. It borders on sad, and it's not necessary. You're better than that.
She is, and I'm going to tell her that.
Thank you.
Leave Oprah alone and be better to yourself.
There you go.
Yeah.
P1 Gay, wait a minute. Hang on a second. P1 Gay Chase is on the line.
Oh,
there he is.
Gay Chase, are you there, Gay Chase?
I'm here. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Carson.
Carson, can you hear Gay Chase?
I can hear Gay Chase. He sounds hot.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you.
He is.
Go ahead, Chase.
I love the name, too.
Yeah. Thank you. Hey, Carson, first I wanted to say that I really love you guys' show, and I think it's really cool that you kind of broke out, you know, gay people into the mainstream.
Right.
Secondly, I wanted to ask, would you ever do a queer eye for the queer guy?
Yeah, I do queer guys all the time.
No. No.
Hello.
No, he's asking if you would ever do a queer
eye. Well, I can... I'd be happy to send you a picture, Carson.
Wait, what? There's two gay guys yelling at each other right now.
Yapping,
they're
bro,
talking at the same time. Okay, would you? No, but would you? Hey, wait, I could send a picture. You sound hot.
Well, Carson, why don't you come down to Hillcrest, Carson? I'll take you out for dinner. We'll have a nice chat, you know.
California cuisine is my favorite. Is it still there?
Hey, Chase.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Chase.
Yeah,
Hey, Chase.
Yes.
I'm extraordinarily disappointed in you.
Why?
Because you're in a relationship, and here you are flirting with Carson. If he was my boyfriend, I'd be really mad.
Wait, I think he said that.
I've been single for months. Yeah, we broke up way back in. Jeez, Mikey.
No, I thought you were engaged. I thought you were engaged.
I was.
Calm, dude.
I was until March, but no, I think Carson's hot.
All right.
Oh, my God, Jay.
But, you know, I'm a gay guy, but I'm a horrible gay guy. I have no sense of style.
Well, get each other's screen names for crying out loud. What am I? Am I a gay dating service for crying out loud?
Yeah, Mikey, why don't you just...
email at carsonkinsley.com.
What?
If these two
hook up, I'm going to feel sick about myself.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, come on.
Mikey, would you?
Woolery all of a sudden.
I know it.
Are you on MySpace,
We'll
Carson?
Be back in Gay and Gay.
No, I'm not on MySpace. I have a funny story, though. There's
He's on Gay Space.
MySpace posing as me, and they had the nerve to say I was like 42, which
really made
not.
B-Rob laugh. All right. Thank you, Gay Chase. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you tonight.
Yeah, see you tonight.
Just shut Chase down like a bad Ferris wheel.
Oh, listen. Carson, one of the Fab Five, thank you for coming on the show. Good luck tonight in Celebrity Jeopardy.
You are so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow.
That was exhausting.
Yeah.
Wow. It really was. I feel like I did 26 hours.
Wait.
All righty.
Oh,
find me some penis and crack your jacks.
Nice.
Why don't we come back to It Happened Off the Air later on? We can just do some of it later. We got so much stuff. I think what I'd like to do now, Eddie, can I do whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's not a guest coming on right now?
Nope.
You're listening to the 28-hour show.
Woo!
We started this morning at 6 a.m., and we will be going until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. No music, no commercials, no, just us. And that is terrifying. Tonight, we are going to be doing our version of Mystery Science Theater 3000. And basically what that is we will watch a couple of movies and we will make fun of the movies. And we urge you to go out and get the movies. We're going to be watching Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Sean,
I should have had... I think of ideas while I'm on the air. I just had an idea.
What?
It's like we should have had clips from those movies.
Nah, that would have been smart of us.
I don't ever... I think of my ideas... after the fact. Not next year.
Ah, yes.
I'll get some.
So Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Then after that, we're going to watch The Wizard of Oz. So go get these movies. And what we do is we count you down. We go, press play in 3, 2, 1,
yeah.
Go.
So it's got to be DVD for you to sync up with our menstrual cycle.
And that's not what it is. So play and you'll be watching it and you'll be listening to your radio. While we're making fun of the movie and you follow along. It's very fun.
Yeah, and before
people
that,
we're
watching Lost.
Yeah, we're watching Lost tonight.
It's supposed to be the best episode yet this season.
Really?
Yep.
That's what they're promoting.
Is that what they're saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's the fall finale. Yeah. Or whatever the hell that is.
Oh,
yeah,
so this is right. It? They go to reruns after tonight?
They go on break.
Yeah.
For that Taye Diggs show. And then they go on break until like February, I think.
Yeah, till like Valentine's Day, I think.
All right.
Yeah. Good 3 months off. Awesome.
Yeah.
Mikey show. Hello. 10 o'clock, we're going to be doing the Mikey Show P1 Hall of Fame Challenge.
Oh, that's going to be
sweet.
Let me have my Inside the Actors Studio music, please. Begin my questioning with you, Eddie.
I do like that you have all those blue cards there. That is really cool.
Yeah. It's a nice touch.
I mean, this is...
Thank you.
Eddie, in around or about 1994, the phrase, "Shut up, Eddie," began wide circulation in and about San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me of its genesis.
Well, that was one of my first radio jobs ever. I came to San Diego with Mikey and...
Right now, but people can't see this at home. Up on the screen, we're showing still photographs of Eddie with a mullet.
Yes. and we came to a radio station that was known as KCBQ.
And what was the formatics of that station?
It was on this very radio station, 105.3, and we were known as Modern Oldies.
Oh.
What on earth is Modern Oldies?
I don't know. To this day, I don't know, Mr. Lipton.
In 1995, you began work on Z90 a few years later at Star 100.7.
Mm-hmm.
and the world would come to know Puff Eddie.
All right. Well,
up on the screen, people at home can't see this. Up on the screen is the logo of the radio station Star 100.7.
This is a very difficult time in my life. I don't really care to get into it tonight. But, you know, I mean, we all have to get bread and butter on the table. You know, that old saying.
Yeah. Good old bread and butter on the table.
You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
Sean?
I've heard that a lot.
And so, you know, they all can't be winners. Thank you.
Very profound, Eddie.
Thank you.
Sky.
Yes.
We begin our journey with you with a word. Ham. In the year 2004, upon arriving in San Diego, you purchase your first black man servant named Ramsey.
I think you need to check your facts, Mr. Lipton, because that is not true.
These are all accurate.
Well, I do not own a black man servant.
All of them. Accurate.
Talk to us about your Nigerian experience.
Mm.
I've never been to Nigeria, so I unfortunately can't. Well,
answer the man's question.
But I've never been to Nigeria, so I can't. I mean, do you want me to make up a story about Nigeria? Or
you joined Mikey for the first time in 1999. Talk to me about facts with Bria's vagina.
Well, if you would have done your research, Mr. Lipton, you would know that it actually started out as Facts with Sky's Vagina was the beginning of, that was the origin of that bit.
I understand this was another time. And
yes, and then we got a skanky girl who came to work on the show, and she took over the bit, which turned into jokes with Abria's vagina.
For the record, Mikey did not say that.
I said that, for the record.
Thank you.
Noted.
Yes, duly noted.
Ashley.
Yes.
Name the capital of Arkansas.
Oh,
wait.
No.
What?
That doesn't have anything to do.
Okay, that's not very funny. I don't have a joke.
Question number two.
What?
Hey.
Please use the word incognito in a sentence.
I don't understand what's going on right now. Are you supposed to talk about my past?
Rob.
Yes.
Name one player on the 1985 Super Bowl Patriots.
Steve Grogan?
Ah, wow.
Yeah,
that's it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Rob, in 2005, the world was treated to taco shop.
Oh, yeah, turn it up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
What was the inspiration behind your performance?
Well, to be honest with you, it came from, you know, an everyday experience. I was always low on cash, dating a couple of different women, and, you know, I had nowhere to take them but the taco shop, so I figured a lot of other guys out there could really relate with the no cash and only spot you can hit is the taco shop.
Finally, Rob, when will you propose to Sarah?
Oh,
that's a little personal, Mr.
Lipton.
Uncomfortable.
Hey. Wow, that's
a little hard. Oh, they
really
want
it.
Women would like to know. Women would like to know. Answer the question.
Hold on. Let me get up on the couch real quick and start jumping up and down. There's no date set yet, but, you know, I'm in love.
Sean.
Ah, yes.
Sean-y-o.
Who amongst your castmates disgusts you the most and why?
Well, I think that's setting him up to cause a fight. I don't think he's going to answer that.